This is the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren 107.3 FM.
Thank you very much, Sarah. Marvellous stuff. Professor Scott Davison, Deputy Vice-Chancellor, Head of Teaching Quality and Student Experience at the University of Lincoln. That's the formal reputation. Do you have any ideas to whom you may be connected with in the studio in a strange and wondrous way?
No, I've been trying to work out where the various accents are from, but I'm not entirely sure whether we may
accent
have to be...
accent is key, and we might actually get a sort of a little yelp of recognition when I actually say, could it be Sue Royce, of course, Lincolnshire lass, and indeed postgraduate student reading community radio at the MA level? Could it be Sue? Could it be Emma Tinson, of course, our official Surrey gal and communicator of all manner of sort of Surrey things, etc.? Or could it actually be Isle of Man soul, currently based in the Isle of Man, of course, and making her, well, a kind of return to the whole system, but also we're level one, week six, already sort of, so you've bedded in the wonderful Jessica Ward. Well, maybe, Scott, it's got something to do with the fact that you are actually also a Doctor of Laws from the University of Canterbury, New Zealand.
New Zealand connection.
Yeah. And that would be yourself, wouldn't it, Jessica?
It would,
yeah.
Yes.
So there we are, structured in such a way, because Jessica, originally from New Zealand, now based in the Isle of Man. And I have it on good authority that it was the legendary notion of your good self, Scott, that clearly influenced the decision to actually ship over here, you know, and do the whole sort of system there. So just wanted to identify that whole system. Very busy in all sorts of ways in terms of working through the sort of aspects that you're doing, Scott. How's it going yourself these days since last we spoke back in the summer?
It's going remarkably well. We've established a new unit in the university to help us improve our teaching and learning. But for me, the big news is that I'm following the Magna Carta to the States on Sunday. I like to say that our Lincoln Magna Carta, which is one of the original, four remaining original 1215 Magna Cartas, is a bit like the Rolling Stones. It's ancient and always on tour.
Exactly. See, and that's the kind of witticism that we've missed in all sorts of ways. Got to say, hats off, and I'll say it formally to your good self for coordinating, and of course Aileen and the rest of the team from what used to be CURD, but is now EDU in terms of acronyms, etc. But an outstanding higher educational festival of learning, which I was fortunate and privileged enough to attend back in the summer. So well done there. Thought I'd do that on air, you see?
Thank you.
Well, thank you. That's great stuff there. And it is something which is so important, because obviously we've got here level one, level two, and a postgraduate student, all of whom are hopefully benefiting from what we actually do. I mean, Emma, do you kind of sense as though the teaching quality at Lincoln is okay, or do you say, no, we could always do better?
It's awful.
Oh.
No, I'm joking. Of course, yes, it's really good, and I think all of the lecturers seem to take on board any feedback. If you've got a problem, they take it on board and help you out, so it's really good.
And Jessica, from your own perspective, how are you finding it? I mean, I realise, you have reporting continuity and change lectures. Lord knows what happens there.
Oh, well, those are just amazing.
Oh, write that down, Scott. That's very good. Amazing.
I think all my lecturers and tutors are just wonderful, and they're always there, and the way they teach is really unique, and it helps me to, absorb all the information. So, yeah, no.
This is all going well. Of course, Sue could completely screw this as a system in terms of postgrad. Because so clearly you've had experience, obviously, at another university where you did your initial degree programme, yeah. and then now you're doing the postgraduate work with me. And what's your own sort of feeling about the whole thing?
I think the thing that I like most about Lincoln, and of course I should say at this point I'm slightly biased, my husband does work here as a lecturer.
We take our postgraduate students in any way, shape, yes, or form. That's the important thing. Well, obviously, certain qualifications need to go into place, but it's important.
The thing I like most is that I'm in contact on a daily basis with industry professionals, particularly in the schools of media and journalism. These are people who have been there and they've done it, and they know what they're talking about, and they make it look so easy. But actually, it takes it takes time just to impart that knowledge, but it's worth it in the end. Because you come out with something that really means something, and it's recognised industry-wide.
This has been a party political broadcast on behalf of the teaching staff of the University of Lincoln. Other universities are available,
yes,
but not
are,
as
yes.
much fun.
No.
With your masquerading and you always contemplating what to do in case that viper, I'll show you where it's at. Come on, babe, for
Lord knows what it's going to be like when we have Newcastle Connections later on in the programme, but still, a couple of New Zealand folk there, and it's just bonding, bonding, bonding all over. The fantastic stuff. A reminder, of course, you're listening to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren 107.3 FM. It's coming around to just after 9 minutes past 8 o'clock. We haven't given the weather forecast. Outrageous. Highs of 7 degrees centigrade, lows of 14 degrees centigrade. It's going to be much warmer than yesterday, starting murky, but becoming brighter. OK, moving on. Richard Fitzwilliams, ace communicator in all sorts of ways. Richard, I suspect you'd like to know that we have the fabulous Professor Scott Davidson, Deputy Vice-Chancellor, Teaching Quality and Student Experience, Doctor of Laws from the University of Canterbury, New Zealand, and indeed, a whole heap of others, because, of course, Scott, we share a kind of Cambridge connection.
We do,
with,
yes.
With Downing College and the Cambridge University Radio, roots of which I still feel we have here. We could do with more egg boxes here that I used to have there, but, yeah.
And more magenta.
More magenta. Yep, whatever. And, of course, last week, as we mentioned, great news. Sorry to keep embarrassing you, Jessica, but you were at St. James Palace.
I was.
You were receiving your Gold Duke of Edinburgh mm-hmm. Award. It's marvellous. Yes. See, only the very best midweek drivettes on the whole thing. That's the routine, Scott. That also brings in our wonderful royal correspondent and film critic, Earl Richard Fitzwilliams. Richard, how are you, sir?
Well, indeed, and also very pleased that Mr. Turner is about to open, and audiences will be able to see Mike Leigh's absolutely remarkable biopic about, arguably with Constable there's a bit of a debate, but I would say our greatest artist.
I was wondering whether you'd actually sort of mention that, because it does seem, I mean, Mike Leigh obviously known for his social realism in all sorts of ways. Is this a new stage for him? Is he going to go into historical biopics as a sort of offering?
Well, remember we did before with Topsy Turvy about Gilbert and Sullivan, which was a great success. Funnily enough, I happen, as you know, to do some walks around London. I ran into Mike Leigh in Soho Square, and he, when we were chatting about Mr. Turner, mentioned the statue of Charles II in the centre of the square and said any member of the cast of Topsy Turvy, if they entered the square, the tradition was to touch it because it had been donated by the widow of W.S. Sullivan.
I don't think a similar thing is going to happen with respect to Peter Jackson and the giant hobbits they've got in New Zealand, but I suppose, you know, it could happen over those sort of ways. I mean, Jessica, any thoughts on that? Should we touch the statue?
I think...
No. OK, that's fine.
It can never hurt, surely.
Precisely. It's good. Well said, Sue Royce. Exactly so. Jessica, Mr. Turner, is that something that you sort of consider sort of working through? And you need to move the microphone just slightly to yourself here, otherwise it's going to be a case of a very quiet voice that's actually there. OK, yes.
Sorry, what was that?
Mr. Turner, from the description Turner, Richard's provided
the
there.
New Mike Leigh biopic.
Interesting, but, I mean... I think I need to hear a little bit more about it.
She needs a little bit more information, Richard.
Well, you know, with the 19th century, I mean, one of the things that is absolutely brilliantly recreated here is the sense of a period where there were so many changes with the rail. I mean, we have the most extraordinary modes of transport. You get this feel of a time of change in this film, and also you get the feeling of a study of a very unconventional genius. I mean, someone who would go in the Royal Academy and deface a constable, something that actually happened. Turner did this. There are magical scenes of some of the visuals. We begin in the Netherlands, where Turner got a lot of inspiration. We even see him lashed to the mast to view a storm at sea, which of course he recreates with you. I mean, I would recommend the later Turner, which is a superb exhibition at Tate Britain, to see some of the magical work. And the way this is handled, visually, it's so impressive. Some of it's set at Petworth House, where Turner actually stayed and painted. It's an extraordinarily well-acted film, and of course Leigh is so well known for his improvisations, and the dialogue lives up to expectations here because the performances of everybody are absolutely superb. The main surprise for me, I knew very little of Turner's life, what sort of a person he was, Timothy Spall is rumbustious, he's porcine, he's cantankerous, and he's unforgettable. It's not perhaps the sort of portrayal of Turner himself, whose only self-portrait in his late 20s was rather idealized, might necessarily have liked, but it's certainly unforgettable. And they're wonderful performances. Paul Jessen, for example, as Turner's father, with whom he had an extremely close relationship. His relationships with women, he was somewhat of an exploiter of his housekeeper.
Richard, I'll just hold you there momentarily, because according to The Spectator this week, Mr. Turner, the gruntiest, snortiest, huffiest film of the year. That doesn't necessarily sound as though it's sort of the way forward, does it? You know, the gruntiest, snortiest, huffiest film of the year.
Yes, no, the reason that the critic says that, and I have to say it influenced my... I've been debating as to whether or not to see it a second time for the very reason that Timothy Spall does grunt so much. It is an odd choice to portray Turner as being such an extraordinarily unattractive and idiosyncratic figure, which he may well have been. I mean, it isn't easy to get descriptive passages at the time. There was the only one self-portrait. He never permitted any other portraits during his life. We know that he was uncouth, according to his contemporaries. We know he ended up in some squalor, yet he gave this magnificent bequest to the nation, subsequently broken up, as you know, between the National Gallery and Tate Britain. Extraordinary. I can see where the critic is coming from. It was an odd choice to choose Spall, who won at Cannes, by the way, for a superb performance, that I readily concede. But when you look at the visuals in this film, the dialogue which brings the period to life so dramatically, and so many of the ways that, as I say, you sense that this is within the age, it's evoked so superbly. You can see Lee's talent used here to the full, but I do agree with that comment.
Okay, right. We've actually been joined in the studio by two fabulous folk, of course, from the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society. That, of course, is the legendary Amelia Chambers and Sally. It's brilliant stuff there. And, you know, the great thing about this, of course, Richard, is we can also share that Sue Royce, you were a regular attendee at the Lincolnshire Show, were you not?
I was, for the first 15 years first of my life.
15
yes.
years of her life, ladies.
Yes.
We'll work out on that sort of basis, etc. Jessica, of course, you are a New Zealand soul who's keenly mm-hmm. looking forward to seeing some of the agricultural joys and happinesses that are actually there.
Yes,
and indeed, Julie have been commandeered together with Emma to actually do some location reporting on some of the great things that we're working on in parallel with the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society and, of course, the Midreek Drive and Siren of Hem, etc., and the university. So that's exciting. I'm not actually speaking... I am kind of addressing Amelia and Sally, but they're kind of way off microphone now. But don't worry, girls. They'll be brought on in the fullest of time, and this little sort of hiatus. And obviously, Professor Scott Davidson, this is all good stuff to actually work with agriculture and the Lincolnshire Show and all sorts of bits and pieces with partners in the region, is it not?
Well, Lincolnshire's one of the biggest, if not the biggest producer of food in the country. Mm. So working together with the agricultural sector to... make sure that our food manufacturing and production is sustainable and is going to provide the country with what it needs. It's very important.
Precisely. So it's a win-win situation, Sally and Amelia, and we'll be bringing you in a few moments' time. Just so the fans, Amelia's growing fan club, because they are enormous in many ways, etc., they'll be there shouting out the whole thing. So Mr. Turner, all great stuff from that perspective there. We move on now, very briefly, keeping the rural thing going after a fashion, to what I just thought, surely it's a rip-off of The Hunger Games, but it's The Maze Runner.
Yes, of course it is The Maze Runners. I mean, have you many in Lincoln who would volunteer for such a task?
Well, funny you should say that. Actually, Jessica is joining us at the York Maze on Saturday.
Yes.
So whether, you know, and she wants to be a war reporter, so who knows what could happen, really?
I think that's a bit different, though.
I mean, the hero is Thomas, played by Dylan O'Brien, who awakens in a rusty elevator, which has taken him to... a rather extraordinary place, called the Glade. It's at that stage all male, and it's surrounded by a maze, and the maze opens and closes at certain times of the day. It's patrolled by grievers. Wait and see what form the grievers take, and they kill anyone who doesn't return to the Glade in time, and each day the runners try and map the glade and plan and the maze and plan an escape, but the maze is constantly changing. Of course it's a ripple from the Hunger Games, but the audience that was fascinated by the Hunger Games, and I include myself, I think the film's made a fortune. It's got a good cast. It's rather unusual. There's a sense of menace throughout it. You could pick holes in it, but why bother? It's a fan pleaser. It is a spin-off and a shameless one, but I found it rather atmospheric and, you know,
okay.
The drama.
When Thomas wakes up trapped in a massive maze with a group of other boys, he has no memory of the outside world other than strange dreams about a mysterious organisation known as WCKD. Only by piecing together fragments of his past with clues he discovers in the maze can Thomas hope to uncover his true purpose and a way to escape. Scott, sounds like an HEA meeting in many ways. Oh, only kidding.
I thought it sounded amazing, but
word.
I'm afraid it would have to be.
Slight time delay there, yeah. But I knew Richard would be on the ball. Yeah.
Amazing as it is, one must say, there is the audience there for this type of movies. There is for 70s science fiction movies, and it's rather well done. You know, the acting's good. One of those films that you won't go to it if you're not going to like it. If you like the sort of movie, give Wes Ball credit for directing it. Poor man's Hunger Games, maybe, but no, it's formulaic, shamelessly so, but it's fun.
But the crucial question is ever, Richard, as you're well aware, is has that influenced Emma Tinson to actually make her way to the Lincoln Theatre that's showing The Maze Runner and say, yeah, I'm going to check it out. Emma, is that one that's on your list of things to go?
I might do. I've seen the trailer and it looks quite action-packed, which I quite like, but I was wondering, Richard, is there much character development in it as well?
That much, but it would probably, I suggest, be sufficient to interest you, to entertain you with reference to the action sequences and how far they, if in fact they do actually manage to escape, what lurks behind the walls and what about this mysterious organization. No spoilers from me. It's fun.
Well, there we have it. Richard, so much to pack into the programme.
Indeed, you mentioned the theatre, and I was hoping to discuss Pitcairn and Great Britain, the truly remarkable playwright by Richard Bean, who, of course, One Man, Two Governors, was one of the funniest I've ever seen, and was a tremendous hit at the National, subsequently done well at the West End and internationally. And the Pitcairn is now touring, having shown performed at Chichester, and also I saw it at the Globe in Great Britain last till early January. What an amazingly versatile playwright.
I think that gets a thumbs up in every sense of the word, and we'll talk more about that at another time. We've got to squeeze in our colleagues from the Lincolnshire Agriculture Society. I say we got to. It's a Lincolnshire Agricultural Show special, amongst other things, so we'll do a little bit of changing around of chairs and movings in the studio to sort our things through. But Emma, would you like to bowl those last two questions to Richard Fitzwilliams, please?
Of course. Richard, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
I certainly have.
And will you be joining us again next week?
Yes, indeed. We'll be discussing Interstellar, which is the new Christopher Nolan sci-fi movie unlike anyone you've ever seen before.
Precisely. And indeed, if you have checked out Jupiter's new eye, it's all down to the shadow of one of the Jupiter moons, which actually looks as though Jupiter's got an eye winking at us, not unlike the eye of Sauron.
Emma Tinson from Surrey. Holly Parker from York. Jessica Ward from the Isle of Man. And Ed Wellman and Sue Royce from Lincoln. An awesome assemblage of midweek drivette talent. In fact, probably far too much for Lincolnites to cope with on a single show.
Except today, obviously. It's Scott, it's obviously your presence from that point of view. You know, name check, well, you've got Sue Royce and Emma Tinson and, of course, Jessica Ward there. I mean, that's, you know, we work our way through that. Ed Wellman and, obviously, Holly Parker. Their parts are currently being played by Sally and Amelia. OK, moving on. We're going to actually speak to Amelia Chambers and Sally from the fabulous Lincolnshire Agricultural Society all about, Emma, things you'll be involved with, as I say, as Jessica, coming coming up at the end of November are really, really exciting events that's taking place as far as, well, the whole thing. In fact, one might well say it's genuinely a happening. Good morning, Amelia Chambers. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very good indeed. Good. So you see, this is what comes, Amelia. Obviously, prompt arrival means you get a chair.
It's sorry.
Very,
no,
it's
just,
anyway.
She just looks like coffee. She was
done it. It's great to see you as ever, Amelia, for our usual monthly look at the events and happenings that are taking place as far as the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society is concerned. And I was having a long chat with Sue last week, in betwixt sort of obviously attempting to do some tuition, you know, as one does, you know, various other things. And we were talking about how the Lincolnshire show has changed, but I maintain it's getting better because you still keep that root of agriculture. As Scott said earlier in the programme, Lincolnshire is such an important agricultural county. It's something that you clearly focus on.
Yes, completely. It's something that we won't forget. We work really hard. Sally particularly works really hard on building the agricultural element of the show and keeping it there.
Exactly. Sally, good morning.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Brilliant. I think, was it 2 years ago you've been with us? 2 or 3 years ago? I know we've encountered. I seem to recall, actually, we met at the Food and Drink Festival a couple of years ago when you were doing the usual, what I refer to as the Royal Walk.
Yeah. Okay.
With obviously Jane Southall, the Chief Executive Officer of the Lincolnshire Agricultural Showground. I mean, Scott has had lots of familiarity with this, obviously, Professor Mary Stewart. The Royal Walk is very important. It's a critical side of things in many ways. But from your own perspective, you must see it very much as a win-win situation. That really, although you're in charge of sponsorship and marketing, programmes and events sell themselves. Up to a point.
To a degree. Yeah. To a degree. I think certainly with the Lincolnshire Show, the important thing is that, as you say, we retain the agricultural roots. Mm. But we're also very conscious that with the show, we're competing. We're a family day out, and we're competing with lots of other events of a similar ilk. So whilst we want to retain our agricultural roots and keep the sort of agriculture at the heart of the county show, we try and develop the show each year, offering something different for members of the public, and particularly things that aren't going to cost members of the public any more money, but just so working with more community groups developing the show and letting it evolve on a year-to-year basis.
We have had a text in from Minty Steed, who's one of our regular rural correspondents, and she wants to say that the Lincolnshire Agricultural Show is one of the best, in capital letters, not only for the show itself, but also for the way in which you cope with people with disabilities. And obviously Minty is in a wheelchair, and she said that that's really sort of sums up, so really hats off from one of our sort of reporters from that point of view, which I just wanted to share with you. Amelia, the other thing that I find amazing is you have such a wonderful cohort there. We've mentioned Jane Southall, Chloe Middleton obviously there, we've got Sally from that point of view. You've now been with the showground for 5 years?
Four or five years,
etc. And in terms of the social networking, share with us and the listener what you've been doing in terms of working with the university, because obviously you're working with us here at Siren, we're working with sort of wearing my journalism and public relations hat as well, that's there, you're working with the business school, and getting tweeters and folk out there.
We do, we get tweeters for the days of the show. We work closely with you, Alex, and basically create a Twitter team who go out and experience the show and tweet about it. It's impossible to see the whole show in a day, so it's so nice to be able to send a team out and sort of tell the story of the show, basically, which is our aim. But we'll know we'll continue working with you.
So that's good news, you know, exactly. So, bit embarrassing, said, right, thank you very much, good night.
Yeah.
But expect the unexpected. Clearly, as we said, we're having a slightly different structure this year because we're bringing in our team, Jessica and Emma, there, thinking, what on earth have we sort of signed up to for this? Well, we spoke a few weeks ago, and Sue, of course, as well, at a slightly earlier stage, because as we said, the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society and the Lincolnshire Show is for life. life, not just 2 days in July.
It is for life.
Exactly.
Right.
Or June, in fact. So just share with us in terms of what Emma and certainly Jessica can kind of expect. Sue, I think you'll be sort of coming to it from a different sort of angle, really, from the experience sort of perspective. What sort of things will we be getting involved with?
Well, the showground's opened all year round. So, yes, we plan the show, and it does take all year to plan. Mm-hmm. But we have so much else. We have nearly 400 other events happening throughout the year. Our second biggest event is the Food and Gift Fair, which is coming up. So that's why Sally and I look slightly stressed. It's about four weeks away, and it's a two-day event, and it's the biggest of its kind in the county, isn't it? It's a celebration
I'll go
of
on
Lincolnshire
record
food.
And said it is actually, I feel, the real Christmas show at Christmas
thanks.
Market.
Aww.
You know, I know
thanks,
there
Sally.
Are people. There are people at Christmas market doing what? But I do. For me, I think it's and of course it's the last weekend in November.
It is. So it's we feel it's sort of the start of the festive season for us. It's nearly over 150 stalls of food and gift. We've got cookery demonstrations, carol singers, craft workshops. So no, it's a really lovely event. It's a lovely event to plan as well, isn't it?
And it's an indoor event. So whatever the weather.
Yeah, whatever
it really
the weather
doesn't matter.
Club Tropicana, whatever the
weather. Exactly.
Scott, returning to your good self, I mean, this is again something which I discovered in terms of my time in Lincoln that there's so much magical things that are happening from that point of view. And do you think this is always a good thing for universities to get involved and work on this basis and actually get that sort of, dare I say it, using cliched term, student as producer, student as engaged scenario, all of those sort of aspects?
I think it's absolutely fundamental to the kind of education that we offer at Lincoln. We want our students to be industry ready as far as possible and engage with all manner of business and activities. So these opportunities are fantastic. And if we can add value to the event and our students get value from it, well, it's a sort of classic win-win, isn't it?
A few years ago, I was actually photographed in a pinny, actually, for the... I don't know if anyone saw that.
Yeah.
It's amazing what it's in.
Can be
arranged.
Yeah.
Look, there are things. There are things that I will do, as you know. I mean, I have
magenta apron.
You've seen the shot of me in the tutu as well. Still, never mind. Sometimes I just think credibility, Scott. Really, you know. Still, dignity. Always dignity, as somebody once actually said. Sue, questions for either Amelia or indeed, I was going to say Sharon for a moment there.
Sally. The Lincolnshire Agricultural Society, particularly the show, has a very dear to me.
Because you've been participant observer. You're
farm
girl.
Yes, I am. Yes, I come from the farming fraternity, so I view it from that perspective. You know, how do you see, because there have been a lot of shows on the circuit that have lost that agricultural link, and they have gone over more to retail and to what I call the urban side of things, and the agricultural thing has really just dropped, tailed off, and it is really their shadow of their former self. How do you see the Lincolnshire show? I mean, I appreciate you've got to be commercial and you've got to attract people. How do you see yourselves balancing that out between staying true to the agricultural community within Lincolnshire, it's really important, and the needs of bringing in money so that you're able to continue your activities?
I think it's as you say, it is all about striking a balance, and we're a very small team really who organised the Lincolnshire show, and I think it's about developing and maintaining relationships with our exhibitors. Certainly our agricultural machinery lines are really, really an important part of the show, and I look after the trade sector, It's about, we're very grateful to those exhibitors for continuing to support us, because we're very aware that there are specialist events now, cereals, that sort of thing. But I think they still see the Lincolnshire show as being important. And it is about maintaining and building relationships. But as we've said, finding that balance and offering something else for members of the public as well. Amelia introduced a new initiative this year called The Show Comes to Town, where we took aspects of the Lincolnshire Show into Lincoln City Centre and used it as a promotional tool and an opportunity to sell advanced tickets. And interestingly, we had a tractor in City Square. We also had lots of animals and all sorts of things, but the thing that interested children, adults alike, was the tractor.
The tractor had a queue, basically, just to have a look at it. And I think that speaks volumes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Was it a Massey Ferguson tractor, Amelia? Or was it a John Deere?
Was
it red or green?
It wasn't a John Deere. I'm sure it wasn't a John Deere. It wasn't green.
I'm just patriotic from that point of view. You know, I can't abide John Deere. Look, it's the only thing I know about tractors. John Deere, green, British tractors, Massey Ferguson's usually red.
I think
I think just to continue, the other thing that we've introduced over the last couple of years is we're very focused on engaging with children and teaching them about food and farming. So we've introduced tours down our livestock lines, so down the cattle lines, and also this year down our machinery lines. So we're lucky that exhibitors, both livestock and agricultural machinery exhibitors, are really keen to promote what they do. So we're engaging with the children and with the agricultural industry as well. And there, you know, that was an important sort of element that we've introduced, which has worked well.
You've got a big school section. I noticed over the years that the dynamic of the showground is, you know, with the new building and things has moved on. And you've now got sections, so there's, you know, the wildlife section, school section. You know, there's the big craft with the huge WI tent, which is always really popular. You have to get there really early, otherwise the queue to get in. You know, certainly the engagement with schools and children, and sort of getting them involved in the whole sort of wildlife agricultural thing is
absolutely
increasing.
I mean, that section of the show is the Schools Challenge, where we work with lots of local schools. In fact, all the sort of schools in the county are invited to take part, and we set working with EBP, we set a number of challenges. We have sponsors on board for that, so they're involved with the writing, and then they become sort of mentors to the schools. So they help the teachers and the children through the whole process, which I believe is due to start in January and then culminates in their actual showcase during the show. So again,
it's thriving as well. We get so many schools. I think it started around 20. We're now near 50 schools involved and growing. So
I mean, certainly for school children. In Lincolnshire. I mean, I know when I was growing up, those were the only 2 days you were allowed off a year, was to go to the Lincolnshire Show.
Yeah.
You know, that was, and it was really important, particularly for the farm kids. You know, you had to go along and muck in.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that we'd like to see more of, more school children being able to come to the show, and schools recognising that it is an educational day out. It's an educational day out with a difference. It's learning outside of the classroom. But there's so much to be gained from a day at the Lincolnshire Show. And it'd be really lovely if...
the word gets out, which is fantastic. Sue, that's been brilliant. I've actually found the Facebook side of things. You can see that. Actually, by Karen Parsons Malpass, but that's evidence of, as I say, possibly taking the first steps to domesticity there, Scott. Again, showing that I'm prepared to take one for the team from that perspective.
I'm just pleased you're wearing something under the pinny.
Thank you. Okay, as I say, dignity, always dignity. Sue, thanks for that. Obviously, time's changing. We want to find out a few words from Emma Timpson, because like yourself, Sue, she'll have to head off in a few moments. So if I can ask you to just swap over with Emma for a few moments and provide her the opportunity to maybe throw in a few questions. We talked about the Lincolnshire Show, but really, Amelia's, we rightly say, get on message. We want to talk about the food and craft fair and various other bits and pieces. We could reflect on the fabulous Curry Night and the comedy Curry Night, which presumably was a great success.
It was a great success.
Fantastic. So, Emma, you've had a listen to that. What are your thoughts? Are you looking forward to coming along to help out and becoming a regular sort of contributor, tweeter, and correspondent with the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society and their events?
Yeah, definitely. I think all of this kind of thing is really great for the community. And as you were saying about the school children and everything and getting everyone involved, I think it's a great thing. So definitely with the Twitter and getting the name out there more and getting more people involved would be a great thing for the local community.
So, Amelia, what are you looking for from Emma and company? I mean, so working through this, and as we said, we've tried various routes over the year. All have had various sort of successes. Ed Wellman, of course, still very much part of the team and will be very much there.
Exactly.
So from that perspective, etc.,
in terms of somebody who's on Twitter, I think it's just enthusiasm. Well, not just, but if you're enthusiastic about what you're talking about, it is a fantastic event, so I don't think you'll struggle to talk about anything. There's so many people there as well who are willing to talk to you. They're all local producers, so they want to tell you about what they're selling basically on the day, whether it's cheese, wine, pork pie, plum bread, cakes.
The tasting is something where, again, you have to just...
you may have to eat a lot of food. So, sorry about that.
Well, there we are. Fantastic. Anything else, Emma?
No, I'm just really looking forward to it now. I'm not much of a like farmy person. Like, I'm very much a city girl, so I'm very much looking forward to learning more about the countryside and stuff.
A whole new world. Fantastic.
We'll convert you.
Coming up next, we'll be speaking to Ian Lennox. We'll be moving into a Tyneside thing from that point of view. I think Emma and Sue will possibly be heading off to do their sort of material. Jessica will still be staying with us. So great stuff there. You're listening to Siren 107.3 FM. It's the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, Thursday, the 30th of October, the last Midweek Drive Morning Edition of October 2014. Anyway, that's time. It's a whole new different concept. We hope you dance. Sentiments which I would wholeheartedly endorse. Leanne Womack. Just dance. Excellent stuff. Okay, in the studio, Professor Scott Davidson and Amelia Chambers and Sally from the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society and Jessica Ward, reminiscing, of course, Jessica, about the week of the Canterbury show, which Scott actually alluded to in terms of stuff that you have a whole week of agricultural magic there at Christchurch.
We used to go for school trips down as well because the students would have a day off. And I remember like cattle auctions and just a whole bunch of amazing agriculture stalls, really.
So you see, Amelia, Jessica, well sorted there to compare New Zealand with Lincoln.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. We heard earlier the text that was sent in by Minty Steed. Hopefully now, fingers crossed, Minty will be online endorsing what she actually said on text, that number one show, Lincolnshire Agricultural Society for Disability and all sorts of things. Minty, good morning. How are you?
Okay, thank you, Alice. Now we've connected.
Yeah, well, there we are. Life continues. Quick introductions. We've got Amelia Chambers, who I think you might have spoken to before. Of course, Amelia looks after the... Well, your official title, Amelia?
Because we've
got
Marketing manager.
Marketing manager. Yeah. No brackets, then.
No.
Yet.
Yeah.
The brackets will come through. It's, Professor Scott Davidson, Deputy Vice-Chancellor, brackets, teaching quality and student experience.
Don't do it.
And, of course, Sally. You were at the Lincolnshire Show for the first time in a few years, of course, last year, Menti. Had a thoroughly enjoyable time.
Oh, it was. It was excellent. And looking upon it on the disability point of view, top marks, way past anyone else on the show circuit when it comes to being helpful without being patronising to disabled people. There's a dividing line between the two, and I'd say top marks in absolutely everything for Lincoln County Show. Only slight little bar was one job's worth, and it has to be one somewhere, who barred the way because my disability aid terrier was with us. So we went round the other way and everyone made room and we got exactly where we were heading in the first place and nobody minded at all. But you've got to have a job's worth somewhere. Oh, that I can say absolutely you couldn't go to a show anywhere in the country that could better it.
I think that's a full endorsement. You can actually use that on Amelia.
Yeah, can I have a quote?
Yes, I will certainly speak to me later on and we'll certainly, I'll give you a good quote for it because, yes, most certainly.
Well, thank you.
I'll speak on your behalf about it because I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it, I assure you.
No, that's fantastic. That's really good to hear.
Top rate, absolutely top rate. Okay. And as I say, there is that very fine line between being helpful and being patronising, and you manage to keep the right side of it, and that's very much appreciated.
We have some wonderful stewards. We have nearly 200 stewards, Sally, is that right?
Yeah.
Who help on the days. They're all volunteers, but they're fantastic, so it's good to hear.
Okay. Oh, I couldn't complain at all about that. They're marvellous.
Okay, well, let's move briskly on, Minty, because lots of things to work through. I gather you want to talk about a hairdressing competition. Again, neither Scott or myself are necessarily going to take this in any way, shape or form. It's
I don't know what it means.
But this is something, I think, with the Norman James Salon, that there's a kind of general competition for hair design. Share with us. What's it
all
about?
That's correct. And they required models for said designing, etc. And Jackie decided she would volunteer. She's not one of these go every week to the hairdressing salon at all, but she decided, you know, grasp grasped the nettle, as it were, and said she would go in, and they well and truly set about her hair. All three were there to do their best for her, and it was absolutely super. And believe me, I used, before being disabled, I certainly knew about hairdressers, and having had some of the best in the country.
Did they ask you where you went, if you were going on holiday this year? Sorry, it's a classic line from hairdressers.
Well, they never used to ask me mundane questions like that. You know,
Quite right, too.
I can say that it was excellent, a marvellous cut, and they're all doggy aficionados. They all own a couple of doggy owning families, and they really did excellent, and it was marvellous, first rate.
Okay.
And I say congratulations to them. So I hope they win.
The Pickering War Weekend. So you had a little sort of time there. Talk to us about what was happening at the Pickering War Weekend. Obviously, commemorations of the Great War. Lincoln, clearly, Professor Jane Chapman, one of our colleagues, we were covering a convention. She was actually doing an exhibition, actually, in London at the Cartoon Museum. That's still going. You were at the Pickering War Weekend. How was that?
Indeed. Pickering still maintains the whole of the centre and sort of branches, roads and streets from it, exactly as it's been, you know, for a long, long time. Additional houses, of course, added on the outer, but it's still very much essentially as in World War One and World War Two. So they turned the whole of the area into a complete sort of time of war, and everyone's there. They all dress appropriately. You have Winston Churchill's, and you have World War One people, and everything everywhere. Everything's absolutely perfect to the utmost detail. They have people there who will give everyone the World War One and World War Two look for their hair and their makeup, etc., so they look truly the part. And it is quite amazing. And there's dancing in the streets, there's music, there are bands, there's everything. And it is very much the whole thing. Of course, they still have the steam train there, so they turn that into exactly as World War One, and they're taking troops up and down the line, and the whole thing is quite splendid. So we spent on the Saturday there for the Pickering Town event. And I must say, and I think it leads perhaps a little thought to this, that when people are normally walking around often in more like trainers and whatever, no one's saying you have to be smart all the time, manners are not always necessarily quite there. But when everyone was dressed in either sort of World War One, World War Two time, manners were impeccable, and I have no trouble being disabled and stuck in the chair. It's amazing. Okay. The manners were absolutely impeccable in everyone. And there was a marvellous set of middle-aged gentlemen who dressed up as schoolboys, you know, being shipped off ready with their labels. Yeah.
That's called a crisis, Minty. That's called a midlife crisis, though.
And they were living their crisis in front of everyone.
Yeah, well,
enjoying themselves.
It's a different county. It's Yorkshire. It's Glees.
It was great. Yeah. It was so funny, you know. Toffee took a very dim view of it, but there you are. And then we went over on the Sunday to the Pickering Showground, and Dawn, who I talked to when they first opened up the Pickering Showground about a year and a half ago now, and she was running it, and it was absolutely super. The whole area was completely taken up. There were people there reenacting all manner of things, and there was the largest frying pans I've ever seen. There were absolutely huge. I've never seen such large frying pans, even in films. They were magnificent. And in order to have the handles, they took the legs off some tables and put them on to make the sort of authentic look.
Okay.
And everything was brilliant.
Fantastic.
Clothing again,
brilliant
impeccable.
Stuff. Let's move on. Very briefly, you've got two events to get into that you mentioned this week. The ALN Charity Show. Just talk to us about what's happening with the ALN Charity Show.
Yeah, we went to the ALN Charity Show, which is run for the ALN Hall for Disabled People, and it was absolutely marvellous. Tarka had a wonderful time when absolutely everything went
Not in. An otter, but a terrier.
The competition in fancy dress, yes, Tarka the terrier, yes, who won the Great Yorkshire the other year. And Tiberius came into his own, and he won the any age terrier class, and for a puppy who's not yet 1 year old, that was really something. We had a wonderful time. Everyone was very happy. It was a very pleasant event, and well done to all concerned. And then the past winter events, of which you attended one. They're now having indoor shows, and they're going to have the regular bands through this year and into spring of next year. And I hope, all being well, that we will be attending the Brands Burton one very soon, and I'll report on how Patrington goes. And we're rather intrigued about the idea of if we could go around the maze, perhaps with Disability Aid Terrier in tow. Or should I say...
Could be scary, but Jessica will be on the sites to actually sort through a whole range of look, quite literally amazing events.
I would love to do it.
Great stuff. Jessica, last two questions from Minty Steed, please.
Have you enjoyed the show today?
Oh, yes, it was well worth waiting. I knew you'd call back when you could.
We don't let people down, eventually.
No, I know that.
And will we be hearing from you in the near future?
Yes, and my apologies to everyone who might have thought they could have heard me sooner, not only this morning, but in the weeks behind, but I have been rather unwell, but I'm recovering now, and as Alex and everyone knows, they always bounce back, so...
Like a rubber ball.
Again.
Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Minty, take care.